It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the next room. Oh my gosh, if you had any idea how long it took us to hook up. Just crazy. Mark, I am so happy to see your face. And actually, I should probably do this so I can really see it. There we go. Mark Avery is my guest today on the next room. Mark Avery Grelnick. Where do I start? Marky and I met when we were in our tender 20s at legendary K-Tide in Santa Barbara. And we worked together for years. And he is now, he's went through radio. He's a professional voiceover. He trains people in voiceover. YouHearMe.com is a great place to connect with him. He does one-on-one voice training. Let's see, you coach softball, you're a heck of a poker player, you love to fish, and you're a hell of a cook, and you do pretty much anything the wife asks you to do.
And the kids.
And the kids, exactly. Marky, I'm so happy you would join me. I reached out to you because you've had just this crazy time. You lost a very close uncle. You had to say goodbye to your biological father, and you had to bury a stepdad. Just enormous, I mean, three pivotal male presence in your life have transitioned to the next room.
And a mutual friend of ours as well, too. So yeah, no, and that was all in a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. They were all within 2 weeks?
All within 2 weeks. It started late January and into early February.
So again, I'll say this is Twilight Zone 2020, because I don't know any other way to describe what we're going through on the planet right now with the coronavirus, with the systemic race issues, with everything that's been happening, to mask or not to mask. I mean, that's like, I'm sorry, that's just like the stupidest thing on the planet. It's like, people, I just don't get it. It's like, really? I fail to see how that is against your rights. And it's not about you. It's about compassion for your neighbor or your, you know, the old lady in the grocery store. I just don't see how that's inconvenient.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not wearing my mask for me. I'm wearing it for you, and I would like the same courtesy back. I mean, it's unfathomable that people don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, I don't get it. Okay, so let's get to, you lose these pivotal people in your life. How did you wrap your head around dealing with the grief? You can't even grieve one, and then you got hit with the second one, and then you got hit with the third one. Where are you in your process, and how did you deal with it?
Oh, I won't pretend it wasn't overwhelming. To start the year, first to get the call that my uncle had died, my mom's sister's husband, who they were childhood sweethearts. So he'd been part of the family, obviously well before I came along, but even when my mom was fairly young, because she's younger than her sister. So we got that call. 2 days later, you informed me of our mutual friend Budgie's passing.
Yeah.
The next day I got the call from my mom that my stepfather was entering hospice, and I offered to go down to help her. And she's like, no, I've got this. So he's doing hospice at home. But a little more than a day later, I got the call from my mom that she did need my help. And so I went down there and was with them for his last 4 days, helped him transition. And literally 2 hours after he had passed, I get a call from my stepmom that my dad was now doing hospice at home, and he passed 3 days later. So had to make quick arrangements to get to St. Louis, which is not where he lived, but where he was born and where the family burial plots are, and he wanted to be buried there next to his mom and dad. So that's what we did. And it was a whirlwind 2 weeks. It was crazy. Just as we, you know, as I was really starting to be able to deal with it, because when all of it's happening, you can't really allow yourself to grieve and to start to really deal with the reality of the situation. You know, we get hit with COVID. Yeah. And so it's been a surreal year. It's been very interesting, but somehow I've managed to cope. I don't know. You know, I've taken a lot of solace in my kids and my wife, our dog, you know, and I haven't had the things to distract me that I would usually have as well, like being able to coach softball. I mean, you know, high school season was cut short after 5 games. My daughter's travel team, which I also help coach, our entire summer has been gone pretty much. We've gotten to have one friendly game and that was it.
That's a good point. You know, you don't have the life distractions that you normally have. So you've been steeped in that place of grieving and really being present for your mom and your family members. And that's amazing.
So yeah, it's been an interesting year to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I think I find the most solace in the fact that, look, a lot of people have it even worse than we have, and we have not. I'm not taking solace in their despair, but what I'm taking solace in is that, you know, it could be worse for us. We have a roof over our head, we have food in our belly, we have each other.
Right.
In a lot of ways we're blessed. So I'm looking at the glass half full.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can look at it.
Absolutely.
And I'm a half full kind of guy anyway.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I was speaking with Pam about silver linings out of this, and it really has brought us more into our now, you know, that connection, reaching out to people that we maybe think about all the time, but we're just too darn busy to pick up the phone and call. And I found that has been true in my case. We had a Zoom call, you missed it, but it was with, seven of us. And from Santa Barbara to Florida to Seattle to San Diego. And I got overwhelmed just seeing all the little boxes of everybody's face. I like started welling up because I, first of all, hadn't been in a room with those people in together, I don't know how long, probably 20, 30 years, but then to see them all together. So, you know, technology has kind of really helped save us in a large way. And you mentioned the family. It's true. You know, you have an exquisite wife who is probably one of the funniest people and just gets funny, which you're funny. So she just has the best laugh and you make her laugh. And I love that about your relationship. I know that is one of those things that keeps you very fresh and very in love is that humor. And you've got two awesome kids.
We're pretty funny too. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you've got a great dog. So, and you're right. You have a beautiful home. You know, life is good in that regard. I just want to touch on the kids and then I want to get back to the grief part because I really want to talk to you about traditions.
Okay.
Your children. So Michael's going to be a senior and Carissa's going to be a sophomore, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So how has that been? Like, I'm thinking those are your formative years. You know, you're in high school, there's parties, there's football games, there's, you know, all that good stuff that they're missing out on. How are they handling it?
You know, all things considered, they're handling it really well. I know it's tough, especially for Michael, because he's really... you know, it's there's uncertainty about what he is going to get to experience this year and what he's not. And right now it doesn't look like much. at least through the fall. If, you know, somehow things can improve between now and the end of the year, maybe on the second half of the school year, they'll be able to have some sense of normalcy and be able to experience some of those things. You know, my son, both of them, you know, last year, and obviously my son in the previous years, have got to experience a lot of that. They got to do the homecoming thing and sure. go to some of the school dances. And I think they've had a taste of some of that, so they haven't missed out on all of it. Right. But, you know, my son's senior year is coming. That's filled with a lot of special things usually. Yeah. And, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but it's not looking good. And I know it's going to be disappointing for him. My daughter, on the other hand, you know, she at least has the perspective of, well, maybe not this year, but you know, I've got two more after this, so maybe right. I will get something out of it.
You know, I was talking to Thomas and Betty, too, several weeks ago when they were both here. And for some reason, I have this feeling that these children, the ones that are in high school right now and those that have grown kids that are working from home right now, because both of mine are working from home, I think that they're learning like this incredibly strong value and kind of almost how to be an entrepreneur. And I think something really good is going to come out of this for them down the line. And I have to remain hopeful in that regard that there's something super special about this group of young people that are going to help move us forward. Having gone through something is just ridiculously wild even to conceive. You never would have thought this. I never thought this would happen in my lifetime. I never ever thought that I would be asked to stay home and, you know, shelter in place and wear a mask and gloves and wipe everything down. And, you know, we don't go anywhere. We haven't gone to a restaurant in, I don't know, since early March. You know, I mean, it's remarkable. So I hope that things do, it would be such a blessing if they do at least maybe the first part of the year, maybe after the holidays, maybe Michael can go back and just really soak up all the fun of that last latter part of the senior year.
And I just, you know, I think the most important thing is to keep them engaged, and they're keeping right. themselves pretty engaged. You know, Michael's really into video editing and to doing some streaming stuff. So he's really setting himself up and his equipment up right now to be able to do that. Carissa's still focused on softball and staying in shape and everything. So, you know, she's working hard every day doing at least one thing, if not multiple things, you know, towards her goal of being able to play college softball.
Oh, she's definitely going to play college softball. We're going to be sitting in the stands cheering that girl on. I just know it.
She's very motivated. And when she puts her mind to something, it gets done. So it won't surprise me one bit.
What does that sound like? Both you and your wife. Okay, so Mark, you go through these three really difficult deaths, plus our mutual friend, which was really sad because you couldn't come and grieve with Budge or over Budge because you were involved in all of this other stuff with your family. What do you guys do? Like, I know that you know, you sit, is it Sit Shiva? Is
yes.
that what it's called? Talk to me about the Jewish tradition surrounding grief and death and how you handle it, because I was at Joe's and it was beautiful. Like, I was at your mom's place in Marina Del Rey, and I just remember the love in that room, and the food was glorious. And I think we might have had a glass of wine or two, and it was just this wonderful, beautiful celebration. So talk to me about that amazing tradition in the Jewish faith.
Well, you know, it's funny because Jewish traditions just in general really tend to have a basis in science today. You know, you talk about the kosher laws, you know, many of those are very health related, you know, and are things that science tells you to do today, but they're thousands of years old. And I think the Jewish approach towards death and mourning is very similar in that it allows the individual to grieve and go through the grieving process and come out the other side, hopefully with some perspective and some healing, if there can be any healing, or at least acceptance, right, at the very least. There are several Jewish traditions. The first is to bury the person within 3 days. And the reason behind there's a couple reasons. Obviously, thousands of years ago, they didn't have refrigeration and things to preserve the body the way they do now. A health issue. Mm-hmm. But it's also to get the grieving process going. If you let it linger for too long, it can halt or at least pause the grieving process. And I think part of it is trying to get the grieving process going. So you're supposed to have the funeral within 3 days, but never on the Sabbath. So you never see a Jewish funeral on a Saturday. It's any other day but Saturday. And also you're not supposed to have them on joyous holidays like Hanukkah, Passover, things like that. Sure. Those are supposed to be celebrated. And to that point, my grandmother passed away literally 5 days before my cousin's wedding. Wow. So we had the funeral, and 2 days later we had the wedding. You're not supposed to stop a joyous occasion for a death in the Jewish tradition. So, you get the grieving process going. Then once you've had the funeral, the Shiva process starts. And that's a week-long process where you're supposed to stay home. Traditionally, you're supposed to cover the mirrors because you don't have to worry about how you look. Your appearance should not be your focus.
I love that.
It should be, your focus should be on your grief and the loved one you've lost. You're supposed to be surrounded by people. People are supposed to come to the house. Usually they bring food because you're not supposed to be, worrying about that cooking or anything. Right. So lots of food usually ends up showing up as you experienced. Oh, yeah. And it's usually pretty good. And you're supposed to basically mourn for 7 days, but not alone. You're supposed to always have somebody there. Somebody's supposed to always be there for those 7 days when you're sitting Shiva. You're not supposed to wear shoes while you're sitting Shiva. And there's some other rules as well, or things you're supposed to do. But those are the basics. And it lasts a week. And then once that week is up, there's a period called Shloshim, which is 30 days. Now, after the 7 days, you're allowed to go to the gravesite. You're not allowed to go while you're sitting Shiva. Okay. After the 7 days, you're allowed to go. Mm-hmm. Shloshim then lasts for 30 days. And that's for the immediate family. And at the end of Shloshim, you're encouraged to go to the gravesite.
Okay.
So you have your Shloshim period, and then it's supposed to be within a year, but most people try to time it about a year from the time of the funeral is when you have the placing of the headstone. That happens, like I said, about a year down the road, and you have a service for that as well. And so there, it's kind of like a closure.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, you should be done with your actual mourning period. I mean, it doesn't mean you forget the person. Right. In fact, you don't at all, because every year on the anniversary of their passing, you don't celebrate, but you I can't come up with the word for it, but it's called the Yard Site, and it's the anniversary. Okay. And you light a candle, and it lasts for 24 hours, and you say the mourner's prayer, which is called Kaddish, and you remember them every year on their passing. I mean, obviously, you remember them more often than that, but at the very least, it's a way to make sure that you remember the people that were important in your life. And also you're supposed to light a candle when you start sitting Shiva as well. There's a Shiva candle that lasts 7 days. And wow. Beautiful. You're supposed to light that as well.
Beautiful traditions, you know, and just what a lovely way to honor your loved one. I mean, everything about it is very peaceful and very much about the connection you had to that human that was here and not about you. Like just the gentle notion of covering the mirror so that people aren't putting their lipstick on or checking their hair or whatever. You know, it's really, really beautiful.
Yeah. Some people think I'm sitting Shiva constantly because.
There it is. Okay. So when, in your estimation, when we transition, when we go to the next room, what do you think or what do you feel is going to happen when we do that?
You know, it's interesting. First of all, I'll take it from a Jewish perspective. You know, we don't believe in heaven and hell.
Right.
We believe that, you know, every year you're supposed to ask for your forgiveness for your sins on Yom Kippur. Right, so, right. You know, there's not a reckoning at the end. That's not the way we perceive things. So, you know, from a Jewish perspective, there is a thought of some type of afterlife, some, you know, where you are in the presence of God. Okay. And under the protection of his Shekhinah, as they call it. Personally, I take a kind of a little bit of everything. You know, science talks about how energy is never lost. It's only changed or altered. And, you know, how I believe your soul, some people call it aura or what have you, you know, is an energy source. So that energy has to go somewhere. As far as I'm concerned. So from that perspective, at least from a scientific perspective, I think there's an argument to be made that that energy goes somewhere. From a more religious perspective, I don't know if everybody that I love that has passed is going to be waiting for me when I go, mm-hmm. but I'd like to think they are. but I think there's something, because there's just so many incidents of things that have happened, whether to me or to friends, that just makes you wonder, wow, you know, like when your mom passed with and leaving pennies for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget that. My mother-in-law, when her father passed, in the middle of the night, she woke up and she saw him standing at the edge of the bed and shaking his head sadly. And then she woke up the next morning and was told that he had passed. He had passed that night. So that, you know, again, another story that you're like, just wow. And then my mother-in-law, who we're talking about here, she passed several years ago and always talked about coming back as a butterfly. Well, we have this white butterfly that just comes to visit us at the most opportune moments.
Oh, Peg. Wow. I have goosebumps. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we see it. We just say, hey, hi, Peg. Yeah. You know, we see the butterfly, we're just like, hi, Peg, how are you?
Of course. Of course.
And then another personal one for me was right after you talked about my first stepfather, Joe, who passed away, believe it or not, 26 years ago, I believe it is now.
Man.
he passed away in the house, even though the paramedics took him away, took him to the hospital, and they pronounced him dead there. He passed basically in what was used to be my room. And my room was like right at the edge there when you walked up to the condo. And I had a bird at that time named Chewy, who you knew very well, thought he was a little person.
Love Chewy.
And Chewy obviously had been there a million times. You know, we had lived there together when I came back from Santa Barbara before I had my apartment with you in Los Angeles. So, you know, Chewy was very, very versed and very comfortable being at this place. So anyway, it's literally the next day after Joe had passed, and the first time I'm bringing Chewy over to the condo, and we're walking by the room, and all of a sudden he just looks up and he's like looking at something. I'm like, what are you looking at, buddy? And he just keeps looking, and then all of a sudden he just freaked out, and like something was trying to reach to him, because, you know, he didn't like strange hands reaching to him. Right. And he freaked just the same way he did when a stranger reached for him. Wow. So it was kind of, you know, it was weird. And I think telling at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, and they say animals sense things and see things we don't. So.
Absolutely. Oh, definitely. You know, when I'm getting fired up and Tom and I are having a conversation and either one of us is getting like really passionate about it, which, you know, we both have a tendency to do. Mamba is like, she starts like flipping out and running around and barking. And it's like, oh yeah. But if we're just chilling and we're calm, she's just as calm as can be. So they definitely pick up on the energy of what's going on. I'm not even sure how much time we have left, but there's a couple biggies I want to get to. What is your definition of God, the Almighty? What is God to you, Mark Avery Grelnick?
To me, God is just, for lack of a better term, a power that is imbued throughout the universe, throughout our entire world, throughout each and every one of us. You know, I think God, I don't think God is a concept. I think God is an energy. I don't see God as a person. I don't see an old man or a wise woman or any human form for God. I see God more as, lack of a better term, a power. Right. I think that power tries to get us to do good in the world, in our relationships, in ourselves. That's how I view God. I mean,
No, it's really beautiful. It's a great explanation. Everybody's got a different way to express that.
And I was going to say, I think that's why there's so many different religions and so many different ways to get to God. Yeah. Because different ways of seeing God. I mean, some people just see, you know, atheists, they don't see a God, but they do see morals.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely.
So those, you know, that to me, that's a part of God, yes. You know, and I think that's why there's so many different ways to get to God, because I mean, there's no one size pair of jeans that fits everybody.
No
one
kidding.
Style that fits everybody.
No kidding.
Same thing with God. God's not going to just give us one religion and say, that's the only way to get to me.
Right.
That's God's going to say, you want to get to me, find your way.
Find your door.
That's right.
Yeah.
Find your door. Yep. Very good.
Door that works for you. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've had an atheist on the show, and he was fascinating because I wanted to ask him the questions about what he felt was next. And he had a really keen perspective about, you know, our ancestors and how, you know, we carry those genetics, right? So we also carry the genetic memory of our ancestors. Because I was saying, well, how do you explain deja vu, or how do you, you know, But at the end of that interview, Marky, you'll appreciate this. I was like, okay, so when you transition to the next room and I transition to the next room, I'm going to come and find you and say, told you so. And he burst out laughing. He just loved it so much, you know, because my stock answer with an atheist is when they say they don't believe in God, I'm like, well, God doesn't believe in you either. So, but, you know, I appreciate every aspect. I mean, because you're right, you know, morals and integrity and compassion and kindness and caring for our neighbor, caring for our friends and animals. And I mean, it's all just, I have to think that we're going to come out of this very crazy 2020 with a renewed kindness. I'm praying that that is where we're going, that's going to be so beautiful that we're going to look back and go, wow, we had to go through that to get to this.
Well, they say whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So, and this is trying to kill us. So.
No doubt.
So we're going to come through. We're going to come through this stronger, and hopefully, as a whole, as a you know, the human race will come out with, as you said, better perspective.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the next room, Mark Avery Grelnick. My fabulous guests, you can find them at youhearme.com. If you've ever dreamed about a career in voiceover, which anybody can do it, but you do need training. You do need a coach. And he is a coach, Nine Ways to Sunday. Or if you want some good recipes, he's got, what's your cooking page?
Cavemancooking.net.
Cavemancooking.net.
And it's not paleo. I was caveman cooking before this whole paleo thing.
Right.
That's my nickname. Caveman had it since I was a kid. And believe me, they're not paleo recipes. But
right, exactly. No,
they're
right.
Good.
Yeah, you are very good. You're a very good cook.
Thank you.
Please say hello to your lovely wife and your children. And I don't think I could love you more unless I, you know, birthed you myself. So you're really that dear to me. So
you are my sister from another mister. So
yes, I am 100%. I love you. Thank you.
I love you, Janie.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.